Good morning. Good to be here. Thank you, Hilary, for all that you've done so far. Every year, CAP put together a CAP Sunday, and there's kind of a theme that runs through, and CAP Sundays will be done all over the UK over these next number of Sundays, and this is ours today. And I'm not sure whether you caught the theme as we've been going through. It's on the screen there. It's hope. The theme is hope, and all our songs and our prayers and all have really been focusing in on that hope. I got into CAP by hearing John Kirkby was here speaking one Sunday a lot of years ago. And coming from a financial background, I was very interested in the kind of work he was involved in. So because I was working full time, I trained as a CAP Money coach and was able to help then in the evening to run CAP Money courses. And then when I left the bank, an opportunity came up to work in the debt side of things. So I worked with Heather for a number of years as a CAP debt coach. And then when she moved on, I got a promotion or a demotion, possibly as a CAP debt center manager. So I now kind of run all the CAP stuff that's here. Still run CAP Money as well. And we also have the job club, which is headed up by Uni. So that's kind of my very quick journey into CAP. And it's been great and it's been amazing to be able to do that and for God to equip me to do that as well. I want to begin by just thanking anybody who has any involvement in CAP as I glance around the room here. I can see people who pray. Thank you for that, whether it's one-off or whether it's on a regular basis. It's very key to our work that you pray. Some of you are regular givers, which is great because we have to buy in the services of CAP from Bradford to enable us to run the CAP Debt Centre, and I personally would love that to be able to continue. So if you're giving, thank you for that. Or if you volunteer in any way, whether you come out with me on visits as a befriender, whether you help run CAP Money, whether you help Tuesday morning, at open house, or whether you help at some of the events that we do. Thank you, everybody, for all you do. And this morning, really, I want to inspire maybe the rest of you to maybe get involved in some way with CAP, with this particular ministry of the church. I often get asked the question, what does a CAP client look like? So what I want you to do is I want you to look at the person beside you, and I want you to say to them, you look like a CAP client. Okay, do that. You know, CAP clients come from all walks of life. They might be married, they might be single, they might be in a relationship, they might have children, they might be working full time, they might be unemployed, they might be on benefits, they might own their own home, they might own no home, they might be living in a hostel. Circumstances may have changed, that their situation has changed, and they come in all shapes and sizes to be represented in this church. So there is no one size that fits all for people who are debt clients. And so what we do is whenever people come looking for our help, we go out and we speak to them. We see them as individuals because everybody's unique and everybody's situation and everybody's circumstances are unique. I'm presently managing about 34 clients and with a debt of roughly about 250,000 or £250,000 worth of debt. That doesn't include mortgage. Mortgages, that's unsustainable and unmanageable debt for those 34 clients. So that's the kind of figures that we're looking at. That's just for this area. I cover from Dundonald to Carrickduff and out into the Titanic. So that's just for that particular area. And you know, poverty completely robs people of hope. Someone described it as being like an illness. It isn't invited in as a lifestyle choice, but can often creep up on us or land on us very suddenly, just the way an illness does. Whether it's through debt, whether it's through unemployment, whether it's some addiction, whether it's low income, whatever the circumstances are, it creeps up on us a bit like an illness would. And it sets you into fight mode for a battle that you can't win and drains your life until you've nothing left to give. You've no power to change the situation and it grinds you down until any flicker of hope you had has been completely extinguished. It tears families apart. It affects physical and mental health, and it makes the world feel relentlessly dark. Situations like I've just described are not unfamiliar in this community. Imagine if you were experiencing all of them, or some of them, or even one of them at the same time. Hope of a route out seems almost impossible. And that's where CAP steps in and makes what is seemingly impossible possible. We bring hope into seemingly hopeless situations. When Cap walks in, hope walks in. Recent statistics have shown right now that throughout the UK, there are 14 million people in our nation are living in poverty. So what does Cap bring into these situations that other debt relief organisations don't? We bring hope. Every single person in this community who's struggling with debt or poverty desperately needs hope to walk into the situation. And I've seen it time and time again as I go into people's homes that the hopelessness is replaced by hope because we come in and we help them in their situation. And our clients' hopelessness, it's a real situation. If you've never been there, you probably don't understand how hopeless debt and poverty brings people. The ones who seek help from us are those who find it impossible to get themselves out of debt, to break free from their dependencies, or to find a job after years or even months or years of unemployment. They feel like there is no hope. But CAP enables hope to walk into their lives where hopelessness has set up camp. And that's a good thing. It's a great thing to be involved in. It's something you can be part of as well. So redefining hope, what are we talking about when we talk about hope? What is hope? Well, if you look up a dictionary, it'll tell you it's a feeling of expectation and desire for a particular thing to happen. It's a feeling of expectation and a desire for a particular thing to happen. Dictionary definitions based on our feelings and our hopes, which means the outcome of what is hoped for is uncertain. There are no guarantees. With the way we use the word hope, I hope. There are no guarantees that what you hope for is going to happen. Whenever we express hope, there's an uncertainty to it. For example, my wife often says, I hope it doesn't rain today because I want to get the clothes dried. Now, whether she listens to Frank Mitchell's weather forecast or not, she has no control over the weather, whether the sun shines or whether it's rain. She's just hoping because she wants to get her clothes dried. At work, I often heard, I hope my numbers come up because I hate this awful job. Anybody does the lottery hopes every week. You wouldn't buy a lottery ticket if you didn't hope that your numbers would come up. And people live in hope, but they have no control over what numbers come up or whether that's ever going to happen. I hope my football team wins this next match. I'm a Spurs supporter, so I was very happy. I was hoping yesterday that they were going to win and not lose 4 in a row. 3's bad enough. And they did win, but I had no control over that. I could sit and watch it. And so on. So often from my clients I hear, I hope you can help me with my debts because I don't know what else to do. And isn't that the way we talk? We live our lives based on what we want for ourselves, but which we have no control over, which is really a foundation of sinking sands. But this is not the distinctive biblical meaning of hope. Biblical concept of hope is entirely different. It says to anticipate with pleasure and confidently expect. To anticipate with pleasure and confidently expect. And it's anchored on Jesus. Biblical hope not only desires something good for the future, but it expects it to happen. And rightly so. And it not only expects it to happen, it is confident that it will happen. How can we be so sure and confident of biblical hope? Because God says so in his word. And we can be confident that his word is true. We place our hope in him with confident expectation and certainty that that is what shows up when Cap arrives at someone's door. Well, my daughters were wee. I don't think there's either of them here today. They don't like me talking. Oh, there's one over there, yes. They don't like me talking about them, but it's okay. I'm not going to embarrass them. They went to Scottish dancing, and they used to be put in for these competitions. And I would be sitting there, as all parents would, hoping that my children, one or other of them, was going to win a gold medal. Okay, I had no control over that. So I had no idea what they were doing. They posed, and the legs went, the music went. I had no idea what they were looking for, but I hoped that one of them would win a gold medal, as you would for all your children. So you can imagine my pleasure when more than one of these occasions, one of my daughters did win a gold medal. I have it here, just to prove that it's here. So there's two kinds of hope there. There was the hope that I had no control over. That was that one of them was going to win. But the second one I was confident of because I heard her name, first place, and I heard her name, and I saw her being presented with the medal. So my hope was that I could see her, I could get the medal, I could give her a big hug. I was sure that that was going to happen. And that's really the difference between the two hopes. Those hopes we've no control over and the hopes that we know are sure and are certain. And for most clients, the hope God brings is different to anything they would have experienced before. And it cuts through the shame, it cuts through the worry and the chaos that poverty brings. It is this hope that allows us to keep going when we want to give up. The same hope in Jesus Christ that gives freedom to those who are in debt or who are in poverty, to those who are jobless, looking for work, to those who are addicted and are trying to give up. God is doing this by using people like you and me as his hands, as his feet, as his voice, by allowing his body, the church, to stand as the hope of the world. If the world is looking for hope, let hope be found in God alone. And we are carriers of that message. So what is the message of hope that we bring to our clients? The first thing is that you're not alone. You're not alone. Debt and unemployment, it can create loneliness and isolation in awful ways. Most of our clients I visit in their darkest moments honestly believe that they're destined to live trapped in poverty forever. They feel isolated. They feel hopeless. They're resigned to their lot in life. Oh, I'll be in debt until I die. Or with my track record, nobody's ever going to employ me. My life will never amount to anything, are the things that I hear. When we visit a home, we smile, reassure the client that no problem is too big, brings into their situation that glimmer of hope that they've been crying out for. When we produce a budget for them, which gives them a realistic amount of money to live on, they can't believe it. They're no longer alone or in isolation, and the shame and guilt begins to fade. They realize that CAP completely understands the horrific difficulties they're going through, and that's a huge reassurance for them. We aren't there to judge, but to help them and to care for them as Jesus would. However, the thing that really opens the door to let hope in is that CAP arrives with the confident assurance that the situation can change. I couldn't do this job that God has called me to if I wasn't totally confident that God could break into each client's situation and bring hope and a bright future. What would be the point of bringing false hope? It is this firm hope that 2 Corinthians 1 verse 7 talks about. It says, our hope for you is firm, says Paul to the Corinthians, because we know that just as you share in our sufferings, so also you share in our comfort. Because by bringing God into their situation, they have his promise of hope in all their situations. This not only opens doors a little bit, but hope floods into their homes with the hope of God. 10 times here in 5 verses, Paul talks about comfort. The first 5 verses that we read there, 10 times, Paul talks about comfort. Now, this is not sentimental, there, pat on the head, everything will be okay kind of comfort. That's not what we do. That's not what we're about. But it's the sense of God strengthening and encouraging his people so that they're not crushed by affliction. And if it's important to God, and if it's important to Paul to mention it so many times, should it not be important to us that in situations we're bringing something of God's hope, something of God's comfort into those situations? That should be part of our DNA as we live our lives for Christ. Is that not hope worth sharing, whether it's a CAP client or whether it's you in your own situation? CAP clients need to feel that they're part of something bigger than themselves, because hope walks in when we walk in and despair is pushed out the door. A lady I went to visit was living in fear, mourning the loss of her husband. She was anxious, she was lonely, she was in despair, she was obviously in debt as well. So a lady sat and wept and trembling as she relayed her story to me. And after talking her through the process of how we're going to get her out of debt, I assured her that everything would be okay, and I asked her, could I pray for her? She said, yes. After I'd prayed, she said, you know, I feel at peace. I feel peace I have never felt before. And this is a Catholic woman who prayed all her life. You know, that feeling she experienced, it wasn't me. That was God. That was God giving her hope in a hopeless situation. She was debt-free just before Christmas last year, and she gave her life to Christ as well at a CAP event that we ran. CAP turned up in the form of hope and transformed that lady's life. Second message we bring is that CAP services work. CAP services work. There's a picture there of the five services we provide. There's CAP money, which I've mentioned. We're running a course up in the MICA Center. CAP money is really for those who aren't in debt. It's just for those who really want to get a handle on their finances and maybe manage them a little bit better. And we're starting a course on the 10th of October, the 10th of the 10th at 7:30 in the MICA Center for 3 weeks. If you're interested in that, there's a sign-up sheet on the table here, or you can go online, capmoney.org, and sign yourself in. So do please sign up for that. It's also the Job Club, which meets on a Friday morning for anybody who's looking for work, who's unemployed. So do go and see Eunice if you're interested in that. There's a debt side of things as well. There's leaflets and all at the back. And then we run a thing called Fresh Start, which is for people who have addictions. And Colin Burney is heading that up down in St. Clements at the moment. And another one called Life Skills, which is run in Mount Mary and have the closest life skills ones, just for people who struggle with life. So those are the five CAP services, and have proved over the 22 years CAP's been going that it actually works. So many clients, everything that has happened to them in the past screams failure. Many will have been ripped off, they've been let down by systems, by employers, by family, by whoever that is. They truly believe that there's nothing out there that exists that can possibly make a difference. But we show them that the truth is so different to what they have experienced or what they believe. I'm going to throw some figures up here for, and these are national figures for the UK. So for example, 23,000 people every year are helped by CAP every year through our services. 23,000 people lift the phone and ask for help. 2,500 become debt-free in our own centre here. There's 6 people have come debt-free this year already. 805 people find work through the Job Club. That's 38% of those who attend the Job Club actually find work. That's probably a bigger percentage than if you go down to the Job Centre and down on the Hollywood Road or up at Newton Breed. 38% of people who attend our Job Club actually find work. And 600 people are helped through Life Skills and Fresh Start. So CAP does actually work, and if people ring and look for help, it does work. £3 million worth of debt was paid off or written off every month, £3 million worth. And when we take the piles of confusing and demanding paperwork from them and return with a manageable budget, when our clients no longer receive calls from creditors or knocks at the door demanding money, hope walks in, hope walks in. When we teach a client at a Fresh Start session that they do have value, that they're not identified by their addiction or their dependency, whether it's drugs, gambling, whatever it is, hope walks into those situations. So not only do CAP services work, but we also have a message that we believe in you. We believe in you. For so many in poverty, all I have ever heard is that they will never amount to anything. You're a dead loss. You're a waste of space. And if you hear that often enough, you actually begin to believe it. But we don't say that. We say we believe in you. One client once introduced himself to me as I'm John, or whatever his name was. I'm an alcoholic. Now, I told him that I didn't see him as an alcoholic, but as someone uniquely made by God, created in God's image, and somebody God had great plans for. Because once we start labeling ourselves and believe that, that's what we believe about ourselves, but that's not what God believes about these people, and we want them to know we believe in them. Others believe they may be a poor mother because their children have been taken off them. Others are living on benefits that's all they've known and that's all they will ever know. But we tell them that we believe in you. God has a future and a plan for you. He believes in you. You can do this. You can have a future free from debt. You can have a better way of life. You are employable. We believe this because God believes it. He brings hope into hopeless situations. When broken people are told about their God-given value, hope walks in. A passage, verse 3 and 4, praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion, the God of comfort, who comforts us in all our troubles so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves receive from God. You see, God is not just for us here as we gather Sunday by Sunday, enjoying praising him and having fellowship with each other. He's the God of the outsider. He's the God of the marginalized. He's the God of the lost. He's the God of the despairing. He's the God of the hopeless. However you're feeling this morning, God is the God of your situation, and you need to believe that. What we receive from God gives us the motive and authority to share with others. So why keep it to ourselves? Your testimony of what God has done may be exactly what somebody in your circle of friends or work or neighborhood needs to hear right now. What God has done for you, what hope God has brought into your life may be the thing that somebody needs to hear. Is that not hope worth sharing? And the final message we bring is the hope of salvation. In verse 9, indeed we felt we had received the sentence of death, said Paul, but this happened that we might not rely on ourselves but on God who raises the dead. He's delivered us from such a deadly peril, and he will deliver us again. On him we have set our hope that he will continue to deliver us. The final blow or the straw that broke the camel's back for Paul was when he acknowledged that, you know, actually, I can't deal with this anymore. I can't go on like this on my own. And this sent him to the only hope and the help of release, and that was God. And this verse tells us God can raise dead things. God can raise dead things. He can bring life into things that we have maybe dismissed or we have maybe given up on. And a lot of people are living like that, that life has given up on them, but God raises dead things. And Paul had confidence that God would do it again and again and again, because God's love and God's mercy never run out. His comfort never runs out. His help never runs out. He said in verse 11, he will deliver us again and again and again. And maybe as you sit in church this morning, you're feeling like that, like Paul did, like many clients do, messed up, hopeless, isolated, afraid of the future. No life is beyond God's redeeming power. Our clients may not even believe that God exists. They may have preconceived ideas about church or about Christians. No one may ever have shared the message of hope in Jesus with them, but we do on every visit. Got a call to go and visit a fellow who was struggling to make his financial commitments on a monthly basis. On chatting to him, he disclosed he had recently lost his mother, who had been subbing him so that he could meet his financial commitments. With that income gone and the debts were spiraling out of control, he'd lost hope of ever getting his head above water again. He was very close to his mum and he missed her terribly. You could see it in his face and you could hear it in his voice. And as he talked about her, it was clear that she was a Christian and she'd gone to heaven to be with Jesus. I asked him if he'd like to see her again, and he said yes, more than anything. So I asked him if he knew how he could see her again, and he said no. So I was able to lead him in a prayer of commitment and gave him hope and assurance that one day he would meet his mother in heaven. He said he knew a couple of Christians at work, and they all seemed to be smiling, and they always seemed to be at peace, and he wondered about that. And he now had that peace and that hope of assurance because we brought God's hope into the situation. The befriend who I had with me said, I don't know what happened in there today, but it was good. And we can be part of that, bringing hope and bringing salvation into people's lives. Because when Christians are living a life that reflects Jesus, people can sense it. When we're non-judgmental, when we're kind, when we're helpful, when we're willing to go the extra mile, they feel it. God magnifies all cap rings into clients' homes in order to create hope where there is none because Jesus himself is the ultimate hope. As Christians, we all have a part to play in showing a hurting world that God is love, that God is forgiveness, that God is compassion, that we serve a God of second chances, a God of your life can't change, a God of I believe in you, a God of salvation. As a CAP worker, I don't only bring hope, I leave hope, a hope that won't disappoint. More than 1,000 made commitments to follow Christ each year through the work of CAP. CAP's ministries bring God's kingdom to earth in amazing ways, and you can be part of that movement. As you help us by your prayers, Paul said to the Corinthians, many will give thanks on our behalf for your gracious favor granted us in answer to the prayers of many. No one who claims to follow Christ should be an idle spectator of a drama in which they have no part to play. We all have a part to play. For the Corinthians, in this situation, it was prayer. And Paul relied on prayer to release the favor of God upon all that he was doing in his ministry. So I wonder, just as a little challenge, could you maybe commit to pray for the work of CAP? There's a little prayer diary, comes out every 2 months. It's got 6 days on it. So if you can only commit to pray for a day, that's fine. If you can do it all week, that's even better. If you want one of those, there's little response cards on the seats there. If you want to, those are sent out by email, but I can post them if you're not on email. Might be something you could do. Could you perhaps give some time to volunteer, either as a friend or coming out on visits, or give a few hours on a Tuesday morning to help at open house or job club on a Friday morning with Eunice or some of the events that we run? If you can do that, that would be great too. Just tick the box. Or perhaps you could give financially to secure the future of the CAP Centre in the church for the years ahead. Maybe you could take a poster and stick it up in your workplace. There's information and there's leaflets and all down there. And hope walks in. CAP clients see us bringing to them one kind of hope, a hope and a wishful thinking hope that we can help them out of debt. But the good news is we also bring a different kind of hope that's only available through God. A certain hope that what God says and what he promises will be accomplished. And just finally, there's a final prayer that I have for the clients. It's from Romans 15, verse 13. It should pop up on the screen there. The God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit, you may abound in hope. Amen.
James, thank you so much for inspiring and challenging us like that. We're coming towards the end of our service.